A judge rules in favor of the Haines Borough in the case of a Port Chilkoot drowning, and a candidate for Haines Assembly drops out of the race. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A Superior Court judge has found in favor of the Haines Borough in a case of a teenager who drowned at Port Chilkoot 3 years ago. Judge Philip Pollenberg granted the borough's motion for summary judgment in the case of Andrew Williamson because, he writes, the borough owed no duty to warn the 14-year-old of the dangers of swimming in cold Alaskan waters. Summary judgment means the case is essentially dismissed less than a month before the trial was set to begin. Andrew's parents, Larry and Chetra Williamson, filed suit against the borough last year. Friends and witnesses say it was a sunny day in May 2010, and several people were at the Port Chilkoot beach, when Andrew and two friends attempted to swim to the lightering dock. While swimming, Andrew slipped under the water and did not resurface. Several people on the beach attempted to rescue the teen. His body was recovered about an hour later. The Williamsons' attorney claimed the borough was negligent by not prohibiting swimming at the beach or notifying beachgoers of dangers for those that decided to swim. The borough's attorney maintained it had no duty to provide warnings or life-saving equipment at the beach since it's not an established swimming beach. And the judge agreed. In his 8-page ruling, dated Monday, Judge Pollenberg writes the borough did not owe Andrew a duty for several reasons. First, there's no indication the waters at Port Chilkoot are more dangerous than any other waters. Second, the borough never dedicated the beach as a public swimming area. Third, the judge writes the family cannot prove warning signs would have prevented Andrew's actions or death. He writes it's doubtful that warning signs would prevent teenagers from swimming in cold waters, and the inherent dangers of swimming in cold tidal waters should be known. He also writes that many activities that people enjoy are attractive because of their inherent danger. Judge Pollenberg does make a sort of side note about swimming in coastal waters and near docks in Alaska. He suggests that coastal communities consider enacting ordinances prohibiting swimming within 500 feet of any dock. But he writes that is a policy decision, not something for him to decide. Pollenberg writes that the most important point in his decision is the argument having to do with the burden the borough would face if warning signs were required for the beach. Citing other cases dealing with similar issues, he writes it's not possible to make Alaska's nearly 47,000 miles of coastline safe for swimming, and that there's a, quote, dubious value to installing warning signs against obvious risks. The Williamsons also claimed in their case that the dock at Port Chilkoot was an attractive nuisance, something landowners can be held liable for. But in this case, the judge writes, there wasn't anything about the dock to make it more attractive than it just being a dock. And if that was the case, then every dock in the state could be considered an attractive nuisance. When the borough filed its request for summary judgment, it also argued two other points having to do with immunity and whether Andrew's parents were the appropriate plaintiffs in the case. Judge Pollenberg wrote it wasn't necessary for him to address those arguments because of his conclusions on the other points. The pre-trial and trial court hearings have now been vacated or canceled. There was no word Wednesday if the Williamsons plan on appealing the judge's ruling. The election for two Haines Assembly seats is now down to only two candidates after Rob Miller announced Tuesday he's withdrawing from the race. Miller said his doctor recently recommended surgery on both his feet within the next year. Each surgery will keep him out of town for extended periods of time. Miller said he already knew he could be out of town for up to 3 months this winter, but had planned, if elected, on traveling back for at least one assembly meeting and phoning in for others he might miss. But with more time away needed for surgeries, he said he would only be in Haines for about 9 months next year.
I'm just really reluctant to get it, you know, I was kind of excited about doing the work, and then I found out this thing from the doctor, and I already had other plans, but it's like, I wouldn't be happy if I voted for someone and they were never around during important issues.
However, Miller's name is still going to appear on the ballot. The last official day to withdraw as a candidate was August 20th. The ballot has already been sent to the printers and cannot be changed. Instead, Miller said he will encourage people not to vote for him in hopes that he doesn't draw votes or the necessary 40% needed for two other candidates to be elected. But there's still one more twist. Only one other name, aside from Miller's, appears on the ballot, and that's George Campbell. Miller and Campbell were the only two candidates that filed before the filing deadline. However, people can still file to run as write-in candidates, and that's what Mario Benassi has done. Benassi's name will not appear on the ballot, but any write-in votes for him will be counted. People have up until 5 days before the election to submit a letter of intent to run as a write-in candidate. So, for now, in order to elect Campbell and Benassi to the two open seats, voters will have to vote for Campbell, not vote for Miller, and write in the name Mario Benassi. Miller said he will not take part in the candidate forum hosted by the Haines Chamber of Commerce this Friday. Miller currently sits on the Planning Commission and hopes to continue that service. He says he will phone in to any monthly meetings he might miss. However, his term is up in November. He plans to file for reappointment.
I have to apply for reappointment when my term expires in November, and I will just put it forward to the Planning Commission. Hey, here's, I plan to be out of town this much. If you guys think that I can still be effective, then recommend me to the Assembly, and if not, I withdraw my application, you know.
Miller's wife, Artie, currently serves on the school board and is running to retain her seat in the election. She said if she's reelected, she doesn't expect her husband's surgeries and absence to interfere with her service on the school board. Two agencies serve Southeast Alaska preschoolers in the Head Start program. The Tlingit-Haida Central Council's Head Start program serves more than 250 preschoolers. The Rural Alaska Community Action Program also runs a Head Start program, including the program in Haines for about 20 children. But those kids will have less time in the classroom this year due to federal sequestration budget cuts. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld provides this look at the program and the impacts of lower funding.
Savannah Guthrie, her husband Alex, and their three kids have all been part of the town's Head Start program, run by Tlingit-Haida Central Council.
My first little girl craved socialization. We couldn't give her enough of it, and so for her, I thought it would be a really good place to get to socialize.
Guthrie started taking her daughter just 2 days a week. Soon, both of them and later the other Guthrie kids became regulars.
You were encouraged to come in and sit down and hang out if you wanted to all day, encouraged to come to lunch and bring your other younger kids and, you know, sit and have lunch and socialize and hang out. So I really liked that aspect.
Family contact is a key part of Head Start, a federal preschool education and screening program that began in the mid-60s. Along with working with kids, it helps parents learn more about caring for young children and preparing them for school. But there will be less of that this year. Sequestration's across-the-board cuts means Southeast Head Start programs will start 3 weeks late. That affects about 260 children at 15 centers in 9 cities. Former Head Start teacher Karen McCullough of Petersburg supervises the program in Southern Southeast.
All the research has shown that socializing children, getting them used to routines, getting them used to playing with other children and relating with other adults, and through those experiences, increasing their language base really helps children when they enter into the public school system.
Head Start also provides preschoolers with breakfast and lunch and teaches them basic hygiene such as brushing their teeth. Some don't get that at home. Regional Program Director Albert Reinhardt says staff are also trained to spot physical or behavioral problems best addressed at an early age.
We help identify any potential issues that might hold them up later on with their schooling, you know, hearing tests, eye tests, and also other more severe type of disabilities.
The budget cuts will reduce classroom days by close to 10%. It will also lower hours and pay for the region's 55 staffers. Head Start in Southeast is run by the Juneau-based Tlingit-Haida Central Council. As a tribal program, it has a preference for Native children. Another priority is low-income families, but others, such as the Guthries, still get in. Reinhardt says he polled staff about the best way to address the budget cut.
We provided options from a shorter work week to ending the school year earlier or starting the next school year later. And our survey basically overwhelmingly showed support for a later startup.
Officials say funding has been flat in recent years, and that doesn't keep up with inflation. A number of grants are no longer available, which has hurt the program too. Southeast Head Start classrooms open for students on September 23rd. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Petersburg.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community for our guidelines. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS listener commentary.